Exodus chapter 32. We're going to read quite a few verses, and I'll be cognizant of the time. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings." It would have been great if Aaron had said no, and then we just move on to the next chapter. All right, that would have been fantastic, but Aaron was a weak leader. And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land which I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount with the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, and on the side on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Now, yeah, I'll tell you something about the kind of music that it was that sounded like war. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And now it was Moses' turn. Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. The people made me do it, he said. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there out came this calf. It was a miracle. It just happened of its own. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the camp, from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses has said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Look back over on verse 26. I know there's a lot of scripture, but I wanted to get the whole picture of what was going on here. And God could say it way better than I can. Verse 26, the Bible says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? And I want to preach about that tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? I actually almost couldn't finish reading the story because I started thinking if we have a great day, we celebrate America. And I see a lot of guys with their flag ties on. I got mine on. And I love driving through downtown Wiley just now. It was really cool to see the flags flying. I told my wife, I said, I like this. This is great. It's still good to see some place where you can drive through and see people still waving the flags. They still love America and what America is and ashamed of it. But I could hardly read this because I started thinking about America right now and what America is and what it's become. And this story is very, very, it's exact for what we're seeing in our country today. It's exactly what we're seeing in churches today. And who is on the Lord's side? Moses asked this question. It's a very, very powerful question. And have you answered that question in your heart? Am I on the Lord's side? Well, of course, a lot of us will say, yeah, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm in church tonight. Of course I'm on the Lord's side. I don't know. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but you know, you're going to have to pick a side. Everybody has to pick a side. There are no non-combatants in this war. There is a side that you must pick. I mean, I know there's a lot of younger people here today, but 1991, I remember watching the World Series, and it was between the Minnesota Twins and the Atlanta Braves. And the Atlanta Braves, they were the powerhouse. I mean, they had Tom Glavine. They were a great baseball team. And everybody I knew was cheering for the Braves. And I guess me, I'm just contrary like that sometimes. I said, man, I'm gonna root for the Minnesota Twins. You know, I was a Rangers fan, but as a little boy, I was like, man, I'm rooting for the Twins. I don't want to root for the same people everybody else is rooting for. And that's actually a pretty good decision in life. But anyway, that's why I root for the Cowboys. But anyway, nobody's rooting for them. Anyway, I remember picking a side. I remember I'm not going to be a Braves fan. I'm not going to cheer for the Braves. I don't care for those guys anymore. I'm going to cheer for the Twins. And I cheered for them the whole series. And, of course, I think it was a kind of a shock of the series. They did defeat the Atlanta Braves. I'm like, yes, I picked the right side. You know, maybe I was a fair weather fan back then. I don't know. But I picked a side. And I cheered for the side that I picked. And that was the team that I was going to go down with, whether they won or lose. I was going to choose them. And I was happy that they won. And that's a silly example, but I had to pick a team to root for. If I was going to watch the game and I was going to cheer for somebody, it had to be one or the other. I couldn't say, well, game one, it looks like the Braves are doing pretty good. I'm going to cheer for the Braves right now. And then they lose game two. Well, I'm going to start cheering for the, well, man, that's not going to get me anywhere. I had to pick a side. And, you know, and that's a silly example, but in this thing of life, I was going to say it's a game, but it's not a game of life. You know, I preach a message that I heard the idea from one of my buddies one day. He was talking about it. And I was like, man, that's a good idea. But life is not a video game. You can't pause it. You can't start over. You can't do anything. So life is not a game. But in this life, we must choose a side. Now, Moses had gone up to commune with God in this story. If you read the chapters before, he said, hey, I'm going to go up and commune with God. Get yourselves ready. Get yourselves prepared to worship the Lord. And the people said, all right, we're going to get ourselves ready. We're going to worship our God because our God is great. He brought us out of Egypt. We have these new commandments that he's given us. We're going to serve God. And Moses was up there, and guess what? You know, there's a reason why we wait on the Lord, right? We have to wait. These people got impatient. They said, we don't know what's up with this Moses. We don't know where he is, if he's coming back. And they had this great idea. They adopted the philosophy of the world. They said, hey, let's make us our own gods. Let's make us our own idols. Let's make us another god that we can worship. Were the first two commandments. They had just been given recently. You'd think they'd be fresh in their minds. One of them is to not have any other gods, but God alone. The other one was to not make unto themselves any graven image. First two commandments, right? You'd think it'd be fresh in their mind as Moses had just given it to them. But no, these people got impatient. They told Aaron, make us gods. Let's make some gods. And Aaron, like I said, man, if Aaron was a great leader, great man of God, Aaron would have said no. And then the end. We move on to chapter 33. That was a short story in the Bible. That was great that a man took a stand, but he didn't do that. He went along with the people. He went along with what was popular instead of what was right. Instead of waiting on Moses, they decided to seek their own type of worship. Instead of waiting on God, they decided to make their own gods. And I want to look at the actions that took place in this passage of Scripture and make a couple points and then we'll be done. Number one, I want to look at Aaron's action. You know what Aaron did? Aaron acted in favor of the will of the people instead of the will of God. What do you think God would have had to say about this? Well, we saw later on what he said. He said, I'm going to wipe them out. Why? Because they made themselves gods and they took the glory from God. They said that these graven images, this calf, is what brought them out of Egypt. That wasn't what brought them out of Egypt. It was God. It was Jehovah. They acted in favor of the will of the people instead of the will of God. We have got to be careful as Christians, whether it's in our churches, whether it's in our homes, whether it's on the job, whatever it's in our personal lives, we've got to be very careful about acting in favor of people instead of what God wants. You know, in Acts 5:29, when they were being commanded not to be Christians and not to preach, what did they say? They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, we were just talking about a church down the road, I guess, that they took their identifier off their church. They took their columns off their church because they felt it looked too judgmental. They were fashioning themselves after something else. They wanted to be popular with the people. We have pastors and churches today that are following culture instead of Christ. Listen to me. What is it to be a Christian? The very essence or the definition of a Christian is to be Christ-like. Is to imitate Christ, to emulate Christ, to be as much like Him as possible. We've got churches out there today that don't want anything to do with what Christ is. They want to be popular with the culture. We were having a conversation this afternoon at lunch, and there's pastors out there that have openly said that their church is for the unsaved. They make their church to be for the unsaved. Why? Because they want to bring in people so they can bring in money because it's a business to them. It's money over God. You cannot serve both. They acted in favor of the will of the people instead of the will of God. You know, we have dads and moms today that are following their kids instead of following Christ. I made the point this morning. This morning, I did not ask my daughters, hey, do you guys want to go to church today? Did not ask them. I've never asked them if they want to go to church. We said, get ready for church, and they get ready for church. And like I said, they probably want to be at church more than I do sometimes. But that was never a question. But we have people today that are following their children instead of following Christ. They're allowing the children to be the parents of the home instead of the parents being the parents of the home. The fathers not being the fathers, not being the husbands, and leading the family towards Christ. Just letting their kids or their wives or their families do whatever. Cornelius this morning, we talked about him. He wasn't even saved and his whole house followed after God. We have made the mistake of allowing the world to dictate what is right instead of the Word. You understand, there's a problem today in America. There's a problem today in our churches. There's a problem today in our homes. Where we allow what we see on TV or what we see in the news or whatever we see on social media or whatever's popular, we allow that to determine what is right. You know, there's a lot of people nowadays that have no problem with the sin of homosexuality. They think it's perfectly okay. We just saw in what is a landmark ruling in this country with the Supreme Court, you know, in the Roe versus Wade thing. A lot of people just lost their minds because they're calling something that is evil good. And they're calling things that are good evil. We're saying that it's okay because it's popularly accepted by the nation and by the world to murder babies. It's okay. We're allowing culture to dictate what Christianity does, and it's wrong. It's sin. Aaron acted after the practice of the world instead of the principles of God. What are the principles of God? If we just went to the Ten Commandments, you don't have to have a great degree in doctrine or to have a great understanding of the Bible. But if you go to the Ten Commandments, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Really simple. Really simple. You don't have to have a PhD in English to understand what that means. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You understand, these people took the practices of the world. Where do you think they learned this idolatry? Where do you think they learned to make graven images? Egypt. They've been in Egypt all those years. That was something that the world was doing. Egypt had all kinds of idols that they worshipped. All kinds of false gods that they were. Where do you think they learned it? They didn't learn it from Moses. They didn't learn it from the scriptures. They didn't learn it from God. They learned it from the world. And they took their practices from the world instead of the principles of God. You know, I got news for you today. The crowd is usually wrong. Usually is. Almost every time. I mean, I don't know about how many times over the last few years I've seen crowds of people doing dumb stuff, destroying places, murdering people. You know what? You're not going to be doing good stuff in a crowd of hooligans, right? The crowd is often wrong. A lot of the crowd is saying it's okay to murder babies. A lot of the crowd is saying it's okay to engage in homosexuality or transgender or all this. There's all kinds of hot things of the day, but it's all sin. It's all wrong. You know, the church is sometimes guilty of allowing the world's fashion and the world's culture to influence our worship. I'm thankful for the music of this church today. They were singing some patriotic songs and some old-fashioned hymns, and I didn't see Brother Camp up here you know, in some kind of worldly attire, dancing around, and I don't want to see that, but, you know, I was going to pick on you, but then you were right there, larger than life, but seriously, you know, we didn't have that ungodly form of worship today. I'm thankful for that. But too many times our churches are allowing the world's program to influence our church programs. They made a graven image. They took the time to fashion. I never understood it to me. I'd rather worship some unknown spirit or, I don't know, the wind for crying out loud than something I made myself. Because, I mean, it's my limitations. I made it. But they chose idolatry. You know, idolatry is the sin of our day. That's the sin of our country. It's idolatry. It's pride. You look on social media. You look on it. What is it about? I said this morning, but it's all about me. It's all about look at me. It's all look about this, look at this. Hey, everybody, look at me. We've made ourselves to be idols. Or we have idols in the music industry or the movie industry or the sports industry or even politicians are people's idols. And the idolatry is the sin of America. It's influencing our church worship. I looked online one time. I wanted to see this one church. And I tell you what I saw going on in the name of worship was ungodly. And he said, "Oh, well, you just don't like their style of music." No, they were immodestly dressed. They were dancing on the stage. And yes, I say stage. It wasn't a platform. It wasn't a pulpit. It was a show. We have made the sin of idolatry preeminent because we worship the creature over the creator. It's rampant in our world today. How else can you get to where a guy can be a woman and a woman can be a guy? It doesn't even match with biology. Because we're worshiping ourselves. We're murdering our children. And I know I'm hitting on some things over and over again, but this is what's in society and in culture today. And we've got Christians, progressive Christians and progressive churches saying, hey, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's okay to do these things. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't care what God says about this. We're going to allow the world to influence our worship. They made an altar to this calf. They said, and this is an amazing thing to me. Aaron said, tomorrow is a feast unto who? The Lord. He said, this is going to be for the Lord. We make a mistake sometimes when we mix the world with our worship and think that, hey, this is going to be accepted by God. God doesn't understand it. God doesn't agree with it. And it makes God angry. God wanted to destroy them right then and there. Because they had taken His glory and they tried to give it to something else. What else was happening here? We saw, just put the picture together here. There's a golden calf. There's an altar here before this golden calf. They're saying it's for the Lord. And they're naked. And they're dancing. And the Bible says they rose up to play. And that has some connotation with it. I know we got little ones here. But listen, they rose up to play. They were naked. They were dancing. And they were saying, this is for the Lord. The Bible says, and I'm going to turn over to Psalm chapter 106. And you can meet me there if you want. Psalm 106 and verse 19. Talking about this in the book of Psalms. The 106:19, the Bible says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus, they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, He said that He would destroy them. But had not Moses, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach, to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. There's a couple things I'd like to point out there, but the main thing I want to say is, you know what God said? They turned their glory. It is glorious to be us. We are a creation of God. And I don't want to put an undue value on that, but God, we talked about this morning, that God put some value to us. He took the time to create us. There's nobody else. Hey, you know what? Somebody might say it's a good thing. There's nobody else like me. God put some level of design and some thought into me. It's pretty crazy. But there's a glory in being a creation of God and worshiping God. And the Bible says here that they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox. You know what it says right there? They became like animals. You understand what's happening here is, in the name of worship, they adopted pagan practices. And God says they were just like a bunch of animals. It wasn't a glorious thing. It was a bad thing. And it was so bad that God was going to destroy them. And I want to point this one thing out here, a little side point. It talks about that Moses, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath. Hey, listen, we need some people like Moses today. God is not happy with what's going on in much of the world today. He is not happy with what's going on in much of our churches today. He is not happy with what's going on in our country today. You know what He needs? He needs some righteous men and some righteous ladies and some righteous children to stand up for God and turn away His wrath. It's not going to come from the world. The world is not going to realize suddenly, hey, we're doing a... No, they're just going to keep doing it. We need to spread the truth. We need to spread the gospel. We need to spread the love of God. That's what's going to make a difference. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've seen this thing about all these churches getting together and half of them worship the wind and half of them worship this. And then they all get together and they pray to different gods. And they say that, hey, it's all the same. It don't matter what God you serve. It's all the same thing as long as you're a good person. That's not what God says. That's not what God... This is what Aaron's action was, and all this in the people's action. Aaron's action. You know what God's action was? God saw their sin. God's anger was kindled, as He should be. Who delivered them out of Egypt? Was it the calf? No, it was God. It was God Almighty. Who delivered them? Who performed all the wonders by the Red Sea? It was God that did those things. Who brought them out? The Bible says with a high hand, He brought them out of Egypt. That was God that did all that. God brought them out of many years of captivity. And God was upset. Why was God upset? Because they corrupted themselves. They called evil good and they were emulating Egypt. They were mixing light with darkness. This has been something that I've been reading. I've been reading over and over in the Old Testament. And we're seeing this today. And you know what? Churches today and Christians today are mixing righteousness with unrighteousness. Yeah, we're going to church, but when we go to church, the things that we're saying, the things that we're doing, the things that we're wearing have nothing that want to please God. Yeah, we say we're Christians, but when we go out in the world, when we leave these four walls and these doors, when we go out there, we look nothing like a Christian. We talk nothing like a Christian. We act nothing like a Christian. And we're saying, hey, we're righteous. I'm a follower of God. We might even have it on our Facebook profile. Hey, I'm a follower of Christ, but nothing that I do matches that. I've heard this story. It was crazy to me. I was telling Rachel about it. I heard this story. There's a pastor from a church. I think he's in Irving, I believe the church was. I can't remember which church it was, but his church gave him a year off. And he went to an Eastern monastery somewhere across the water. And he spent a year with these monks learning Eastern philosophy. And he came back and talked about all these things that he learned and the some techniques that he learned and the thing. And this guy was mixing Eastern religion with the Bible. This is exactly what was happening in most of it. It's wrong. It's corruption. You know, God doesn't share His glory. He's not going to share His glory with anyone. Hey, all gods are not the same. Some calf somewhere is not the same as Jehovah God. Some philosopher somewhere, there's been some great men and people really like to quote them. And some of the things that they say were good, but hey, they're not God. These other gods that people worship, whether it's their ancestors, they're not the same God. He's the only true God. You know, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say it's anybody else. He said, it's my thing. I'm the way. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12 that there is salvation. There's not salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not anybody's thing. It's Jesus' thing. God was a little upset because they corrupted themselves. And if you take the time to look at, I'm not going to read it right now, but the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians, talks with us about being unequally yoked. It talks about not mixing righteousness with unrighteousness and the worship of Christ with that of Belial and the believers with the infidels. It talks about mixing those things. And the Bible goes on to tell us that we're a temple. We are a place of worship for God. This right here doesn't look like a great temple, right? But you know, this is a temple of God, and I am not supposed to mix light with darkness. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to do my own thing because I'm going to do what pleases me. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, God spent a great price for you. God spent a great price for me. I am not my own. You are not your own. I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. I ought to follow after God. I ought to seek after what God wants. It's something that I should do. And the Bible tells us in Romans, it's my reasonable service. It's not some great thing. It's not some great challenge or some great quest that I have to do. The Bible says it is my reasonable thing to follow after God, to give God His proper worship, to give God His proper praise, and to put Him in the proper place of my life, the place of preeminence. That's my reasonable service. You know, they gave their glory to a false god. We're not going to turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 48, He says, I will not give my glory to another. Neither should He. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all. He's not going to give it up to someone else. You know, in Romans chapter 1, There's a bunch of people that were mentioned there that they did this very thing. They professed themselves to be wise, the Bible says, but they became fools because they recognized not God. They didn't give God his part. They were unthankful, the Bible says. So that's God's action. God was very upset because they had corrupted themselves, because they tried to give his glory to someone else. And he called them a stiff-necked people. They were prideful. Number three, and lastly, Moses' action. In verse 15 in Exodus 32, the Bible says, "And Moses in turn went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the temples. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the noise of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And this is what he did. And as soon as it came to pass, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, they saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, he burnt it with fire, in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now I can imagine that that tasted very good. I know that sometimes people have iron deficiencies, but I've never heard of gold deficiencies. But Moses was so upset, and rightfully so, that he destroyed. And let me tell you something. We as Christians, we as the people of God, we need to destroy some things. We need to take the same righteous indignation that God had, and we need to destroy some things in our lives and in our country, and because they're taking the place of God. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Anything. It could be something. It could be a hobby. It could be a job. It could be a person. It could be yourself. Sometimes I think we're our biggest God in our life. A lot of times. He saw their sin. He saw the calf. He saw the nakedness and the dancing. And there was a swift response. You know, God wanted to have a swift response here, and God did. You know, the Levites destroyed 3,000 of them among them. And God, the Bible says later on in the chapter, that he was going to visit them for what they had done. He ground up the calf and drank it, and he put the proper value of a false god. Because what is the proper value of a false god? It has no value whatsoever. And he destroyed it, as he should. He questions Aaron, because sometimes I think we need to ask ourselves why we're worshiping something else. Why we would dare put anything in the place of God. We saw that Aaron made excuses. Let's not be like Moses. Like Aaron. Let's not make some excuses. Let's not, you know, it's the age old thing. Go back to the Garden of Eden. He goes to Adam. Adam's like, well, it was Eve. And Eve was like, well, it was the serpent. Aaron's like, I don't know what happened. I just threw it into the fire, and all of a sudden, poof, there it is. Here's the question, and we'll be done. Verse 26, he says, who is on the Lord's side? You know, Joshua 24 and 15, I think maybe Joshua paid attention a little bit under Moses. Because he said in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? I want to make one thing. Moses asked who's on the Lord's side. You know what the Levites did? The Levites said, we're on the Lord's side. They didn't make excuses. The Bible says that they girded their swords and they did as they were told. They were on the Lord's side. We need husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children and grandmas and whatever you are, we need people today that are going to say, I am on the Lord's side. I'm not going to allow culture to tell me what is right. I'm going to allow Christ to tell me what's right. I'm not going to allow the world to dictate how I act. I'm going to let the Word of God dictate how I act. We need some people that are going to be, you know, Daniel, great example. Daniel, when he was in Babylon, Daniel was told, hey, you can't pray. Daniel said, I'm going to pray. Daniel already knew the questions that were going to be asked, and he had the answer to the question. He kept doing what he had done aforetime. The Bible says, we as Christians need to be ready to serve, we need to be ready to worship, and we need to say, whatever the world's going to do, let the world do, but I'm going to serve God. Let the other churches do what they're going to do, but this church is going to do right. Let other husbands do what they're going to do, I'm going to do right. I'm going to follow after God. I don't care if there's anybody else following after God, I'm going to follow after God. Whose side are you on? Let me ask you this question and we'll be done. Who is on the Lord's side? When you go out into the week this week, many of you are going to go work a job, take care of your kids, maybe some of you are going to school, maybe some, whatever you do, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? And if you say you are our actions falling? Man, I tell you what, this is convicting. I was reading this and I was reading what these people are saying. Yeah, I serve the Lord, but they were looking at the world. They were looking and lusting after the things of the world and the way that the world behaved, and they started behaving like the world. Who is on the Lord's side? Think about that this week.